And so then a lot of times the tent has its great advantage, and we're certainly glad to be here tonight under the tent. Appreciate those that are working with us. I thank God for every one of them. Man, Brother Allen used the terms, and it's so true, that it looks like they just about sweat blood to do something for God. And I thank God for every one of them. And I deeply appreciate an individual that can not only work for God, but live for God. You know, the Bible said, let those that bear the ark or the vessels of God, let them be holy. And I thank God for some people that want to be holy. You know, we come here for a purpose. We don't come here just together. But there is a purpose. The Bible commands us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't just come together to worship God and to clap our hands and to sing and praise the Lord, though that is part of it, and that is a great part of it. But we don't come for that purpose. We come to grow in His grace and to grow in His knowledge. So then that means that we need to hear something and know something that we might believe something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to come to hear that we might know, that we might believe. And when we do this, then we grow in His grace. Because we believe, then we grow in His grace. And this is the wonderful, exciting thing, is that God has so freely given us these wonderful things. For now is made known unto the church, Paul said, the manifold wisdom of the Almighty God, even unto the heavenly places. Did you know that today we have, as I said last night, a greater privilege than Solomon? Because though Solomon was ever so wise and ever so great, he never so much as even bordered on the line of having what the sons and daughters of God have. Solomon's wisdom could never even come near what the sons and daughters of God have. Because Solomon did not have the mind of God. He only had the presence of God from time to time to reveal to him. And in the Old Testament, they did not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost as you have today. Though the Holy Ghost was with them, yet he was not in them. He was not a gift to them that they might keep and retain as their very own. And so then they did not have what the Bible refers to as the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that ye have the minds of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that mind stated that all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you. Therefore ye have an unction from the Holy One, he said, that ye should know all things. And this is the beauty of the hour, and this is the beauty of the bride, and this is the beauty of the moment that we're living in today, is that we, as the body of the Lord God, should know all things. You know, I've heard preachers during my lifetime as we travel across the world, they'd say, well, there's just certain things that God doesn't want you to know, Brother Pike, and there's certain things He doesn't want people to know. And I said, well, I'd love to know where that's said in the Bible. Because I said, I read in the Bible where we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And I'm satisfied that Jesus knows all things. And He said, what my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And the Bible tells us if we're lacking in any way, then we are complete in Him. So then it's a beautiful thing to be a Christian and to be here tonight and to know that you have an unction to know all things. Now then, the thought here is, why should I know and why should I understand? Why do people go to school? Why do they go to grammar school, high school, and then they go to college and then they take extensive studies? Is it not that they do that to learn? Don't they want to learn? They want to understand about human physics. They want to understand about the astronomy side of life. They want to understand the heavens. They want to understand the earth. They want to understand the human body, human anatomy. They want to understand that which is beneath the earth and the depths of the sea. And they've searched it out and they've sought it out because they want to know. And though there's no value to it whatsoever, so far as a Christian is concerned, there's great value concerning their surrounding environments and their survival, and there's great value to it in the sense that it can be beneficial to them. The more that they know about Mars and Venus, the other places, though they're not going to get anything out of it, yet it makes them to understand the planet that we live on better, the one called the Earth. You know, he said many years ago that they'd never find any living thing up there. I said, they will go to the moon. They'll go to the moon. The Bible proves that they'll go to the moon. They'll make the trip successfully. And they did. I said, but they won't find any life on it. And I said, they won't find any life on the other planets, because the Bible doesn't teach there's any other life. It said that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Bible said that he gave man on the earth to multiply and replenish the earth. You know, but they still search the heavens out. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself the reason why they do this? Why do they do this? It is for a reason. Not because they are going to live up there. Not because they're going to find life up there. As a matter of fact, they as scientists have made the statement. Said, why do we do it? Said, we don't have any reason. Said, we do it out of curiosity. Said, that's the only reason. But yet the entire world follows what Paul calls science. That is knowledge, the word science being knowledge. Paul called it science or knowledge, falsely so called. But all the world follows after them in great expectation that they're going to find something when there's nothing, nothing at all divine. And they themselves are only doing it out of curiosity, and all the world doesn't realize they're doing it out of curiosity. So all the world follows them expecting something to happen more than what God's got. But folks, let me tell you, you can exhaust all the means of study and understanding, from human physics to whatever. But you're going to find after you do all of that, there's but one knowledge. That's the knowledge of God. It is the book of books. You can study many books and never learn a whole lot. But you can study one book and understand all things. And in this, we're grateful tonight because we have the mind of the Lord. And those that love Jesus have the mind of the Lord. So then let's grow in his knowledge. And then the question arises again, why grow in his knowledge? If the knowledge round and about, Brother Pike, seems to be terminal and it's coming to a place to close, then why get more knowledge? You know, let me say this right hurriedly. Hippies wandering around the world, many of them are great educated people. We preached in Washington State and we preached out in California and different places, Hollywood and Placentia in Los Angeles, and down the coast of those different places. And those places are filled with great professional men of dentists, doctors, lawyers, whatever, that's nothing but beatniks and drunkards and vagabonds. I've talked to them personally. Broken homes and no happiness and whatever, because they sought for it in the wrong place. We've had to win some of them to Christ, and they've become staunch friends of ours. But those men learned and learned, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge that is the truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth. And they became vagabonds. And today we've got a generation that wants to roam, that wants to do nothing because they're disgusted with learning. Because it's come to nothing. But you know what? It's not so with the knowledge of God. As you learn the Word of God and you understand the Word of God, you're translating. You're translated in your spirit immediately into the wonderful kingdom of God. And that by as an instantaneous thing. And then after that, through a gradual change of a progressive pilgrimage through a spiritual dimension as a venture into faith, you are gradually from glory to glory and from faith to faith transformated in your mind into the mind of Jesus Christ over a period of time of devotion, study, and consecration. And then, instantaneously after that, by the wonderful act of God, according to the Thessalonian teachings, you are transfigured into the very image of the Son of God, changed from corruptible to incorruptible, from this terrestrial to the celestial body, to never again have problems, to be tired, never again to grow weary, never again to age, and never again to worry about death. Now, folks, that kind of knowledge is the kind of knowledge I'm interested in. You know, the Lord has, through my search in the Bible, and this is the truth, so help me God, through my search in the Bible, he has opened my understanding to the deep depths of the sea and the core of the earth. He has made me to understand it all. He hath opened my mind to the vast expansion of the earth and the great, wonderful, vast emptiness around us after you leave the face of the earth. And his open my understanding to the great heights of heaven, to where, through his grace and mercy, I thoroughly understand that. Understanding what the doctor understands, understanding what the scientist understands, understanding what the college student understands, understanding what the philosopher understands, and yet understanding what the Christian understands, I find that all that they understand is but nothing, except for the spiritual significance it has concerning God's eternal word. And though it renders many things in the sense of security, that is to say, if you understand the medical side of life, it helps you to preserve the body. But in all of the great teachings and understanding of the medical world, I find in understanding it all that when we come back to the Bible, God's plan for the human body is better than all of their medical research. And though medicine does good, the Bible teaches it does good, yet I find that the reason we have to use those remedies is because we vary and stray away from the steadfastness of his wonderful word. The Bible tells us that out of the many hundreds of thousands of people that came out of Egypt, that went through the wilderness, that not one of them was sick, not one of them's feet swelled. They did not have to worry about colleges or knowledge or industries. God provided for them, God took care of them, and the Bible said that they were of a good understanding, all because they accepted Jesus. And I thank God for all these other things, but at the same time I've come to realize that it's nothing but a subsidiary thing, and it's for sinners and carnal-minded people that don't really know God, that have to depend on all of those things. And even great men of God across the world, like Brother Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and many others, allow for those things and have built hospitals, some of them really having done nothing. For to build a hospital is nothing. We already have hospitals. That doesn't glorify anybody in the sense of the gospel, nor glorify God in the sense of the endeavor. We already have colleges. To build colleges is not the plan of God and the move of God. That is of the world, and the world loves its own. But what God wants is for you to develop your mind in the wonderful things of Christ our Savior and translate and transfigure into the things of God. I see carnal-minded people that go out from under the tent. They're so carnal-minded, blind as a bat. They don't know nothing. And they hear one little thing and they sum it up in their emptiness up here, in their computerized, misfigured way, thinking that they know something, and they cut themselves off from the things of God. And I feel so sorry for them. And the devil plants them in the church and under the tent. On numerous occasions he does that to move them out at different times to discourage the hearts of the people and to make them think that there's nothing there because they're brilliant, when the people are very ignorant. Very ignorant and don't understand it all. And so ignorant that they live altogether in the confinement of their own intellectual, little intellectual world of sovereignty according to what they have defined in their intellectual way of concept. And it's so pitiful, but there's nothing that you can do for them. We're moving on toward glory and we're moving on toward heaven. And there's nothing that you can do for those people. And you know, I say this tonight before I read. There's one thing that I have learned. If I, as an individual, allow only for what I think, and only for what I've heard, and only for what I know in that I have received from my studies, and I don't allow anything of that which I have heard to come into my heart to cause an expansion, other than the fact I just heard it, or anything that anybody else tells me, if I make no allowance as to search it out to find out if there's any virtue in it, or if there's anything in it, you know what will happen to me? I will always be what I am. And that is, if I am ignorant, I will always be ignorant. The Bible said, he that is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, I will always be ignorant if I take that outlook. If I meet you and you can't tell me anything, and I can't try to listen to what you've got to say, and I can't try to understand what you're trying to tell me, I will always be a person that will only know what I know and what I understand. Everybody has a world of their own. Every individual is like a planetary world, if you want to call it that. They are an individual in their own individuality. They've got a sovereignty. They have a world of their own. In their mind, they orbit around their thinking. That's all. Their soul orbits around their thoughts. And God said He will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. And you never escape that. And according to your thinking and understanding, that's just how big your world is. If it is filled with fear and frustration, then you are frustrated. You are orbiting around fear, and your world is a prism. Whereas in my world, it might be springtime. It might be a great day of jubilee, and I might be rejoicing, and I might be free and happy. In your world, it might be lightning and thundering. It might be fear and frustration. It might be anxiety. It might be fear of cancer, fear of heart condition, fear of death, fear of everything. But did you know it takes God's word and God's mind to penetrate that wall of resistance and to get beyond the impregnable walls of your thinking and get down into the heart and to eradicate fears and frustration and ignorance and to do away with wrong thinking and misunderstanding and misconcept? Hundreds of millions of people are giving their ideas. Professors and scientists and doctors, and all of them has their ideas. But folks, I tell you, there's only one thing right. That's His thoughts. His mind. I've searched it all out. It's His mind, that's all. It's the only thing that's right. I've talked to them all. I've searched it all out. And the only place that you can find it is His word. That's the only source of life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and my words are life, eternal life." So then I said that to say this, that in your mind, you are trapped. You can only go as far as your mind will let you go. But if you will allow somebody to enlarge your thinking, or if you will enlarge upon somebody's thoughts, then you can get a little farther and a little farther. Some birds go up to one height, some birds go up to another height, some birds up to another height. So it's the same way with the minister. If the minister does just by chance have something, if he does just by chance have something, then if you listen at it, then you can expand. But if you come just to hear a song, and you come just to clap your hands, and you come just to be curious, as scientists are doing with the heavens, then you won't get anything. Because, see, the tent doesn't have eternal life. The singing doesn't have eternal life. The programs doesn't have eternal life. All of the scientists of the world and their knowledge doesn't have eternal life. But many of these things are to build around God's Word so that you can have the Word which is eternal life. So then when Jesus came, He came as a simple, humble fellow with the Word of God. That's all He did. Just the simple, down-to-earth Word of God. That's all He had to offer. That's all He wanted to offer because that was all that was needful. And within that consist all things. All things was made by that simple Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Bible said we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. That He sent His Word and cast out the unclean spirits. It's faith in His Word that brings salvation. And the Bible teaches that it is His Word that does all of these things for you and for me. So then tonight, if you can open up your mind to grow in the knowledge and grace of God through these meetings, and here tonight, of course, through these meetings, if you can open up your mind to enlarge upon the Word, when we leave Charlotte, you'll be a great person. You'll be far greater, not because I am here. See, the presence of the Lord is here in this tent, not because Brother Pike is here. That's not it at all. He's not here because we have singing, we have music. He's not here because you're here. He's not here for that reason. And yet He is here because we're here, because He's in us. Otherwise, He wouldn't be here if He wasn't here. In that sense, but Paul said He's above us, He's in us, and He's through us. He's everywhere. So then if we make these grounds holy, we dedicate them to God, He is here for one reason. One reason. And that's because His Word is here. He is here because the blood of His Son avails from Calvary. It's on the seat of atonement. And tonight He's here because we believe in His righteousness, and we believe in His blood, and we believe in His greatness, and we believe that we don't have to do anything in the way of works, anything in the way of anything to get His love and attention. He did it all for us while we were yet in our sins. But the mere fact that we turn toward Him, believe in what He has done, then this makes us partakers of the great benefit in a wonderful way, and we can just let our faith, that is our confidence in what He's done for us, go out to such extent that He'll work miracles and He'll do great things. The reason He will work miracles is because there's nothing that's required to work miracles. He has already done everything that's required. All He wants you to do is believe in what He's done. And what the preacher is for is to preach to you, all things are possible, only believe, because of what He's done. So then it's not how righteous I am, it's not how righteous you are, it's not how powerful I am or how powerful you are. When Peter healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, he said, don't look on us as though we did this by our own righteousness or by our power. It is by Him, the faith of Christ Jesus, and by the man that believed. So then when we come here, we come to believe that we have gathered together as the saints of God, that God may give us a revival and save souls and heal the sick and deliver, because He paid the price that this might happen, that He might be glorified. I try to make myself available. I'll trust that you try to make yourself available. I try to be clean, not just in my life, but in my very thoughts. All of my Christian experience, I have tried to be clean, perfectly clean in every thought, in every intent of my heart, to every reflect and impulse of my body. All of my life I've tried to do that. And that's the truth, so help me God. The reason is because the Bible said God feeds us the thoughts of our heart. And there's an old saying that whatever you feed on, that's what you are. And all of my life I've been jealous over my body, over my thoughts, over anything that pertained to me. I've been greatly, extremely jealous over it, to where I wouldn't give one thought to the devil and one thought to the things of the world and one reflect of my mind to anything but my Savior, to be like Jesus, to make myself available, to live perfectly before Him, to have charity. Charity thinketh no evil, to have that bond to perfectness. Not because it is going to profit me anything in the sense of righteousness, because it is by His grace, it is by His works, but because I love Him so much, that's the way I feel toward Him, because He loved me so much that He, without reservation of heart, gave Himself for me. Therefore, I have sought without reservation of heart to give myself for Him, that I might say something in His behalf in the earth, and that I might not do it in hypocrisy or do it for greedy gain or selfishness or to be a lord over God's heritage. I wanted to do it for Christ's sake. So tonight, I ask you to do one thing. Open up your mind. Open up your heart. Open up your life. And let us say something to you. Get away from the charismatic side of life, of this thing of not believing in holiness and righteousness and godliness. Get away from the other side of life that believes that you can have works of righteousness as the Jews did and work your way into the kingdom of God. But let's come to one thing, and that is that it is all of Him, and we must do it all by Him. And the way that we get in is by faith, and that is obedience to His Word. And that all of the other ritualistics of life is not going to do us any good. All of the other ritualistics of life isn't going to do us any good. No matter what we do, what kind of program we have or what we belong to, it won't do us any good. We're saved simply by believing in what He said. And what He has said is concerning what He hath done in our behalf. Therefore, let's live perfect before Him and walk perfect before Him. And the Bible said to be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And everyone that be perfect, be thus minded. For God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And them that He foreknew, He also did predestinate. The Bible said to be conformed to the image of His Son. Them that He predestinated, the Bible said He also did glorify. So being glorified people tonight, being sanctified people tonight, being perfect people tonight, being the royal family tonight, let's so get our hearts into Christ to love Him, praise Him, and to work for Him, and grow in this great knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I felt to talk to you. And I want to say this as I preach to you. As I preach to you, even though I will preach the word to the best of my ability as God shows me to preach it, yet I can truthfully say that unless we happen to get into a special place of thinking with God, you will never, never understand spiritual things. Because with all of the preachers' preachings and with all of the great things that they say, there is a depth and a dimension that is so wonderful in the spiritual, wonderful things of God that only they that are specially called to this wonderful world of greatness can get into it. So tonight, as we talk about it, let me say what I can to encourage your faith, and let me say what I can to approach the subject in such a way that you will come in together with me in one mind to realize the value of it. And at the same time, let me preach the word to you, letting you know that unless you believe and really get deeply interested to draw your attention to it in a great way, that you still, with all that you hear, won't get into what he would like for me to say to you. And that's the truth, so help me God. You know, on the day of the judgment, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And if I do anything in the way of exaggeration, I'll have my part in the lake of fire. I want to read something to you tonight. I want you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, if you will. And I want to read this scripture tonight. And I want to call something to your mind. Now, you listen real close to me, folks. Most of the time on the field, if a preacher has anything, he cannot give it to the people as a rule, if it's something spiritual. Because the average person on the field doesn't even understand altogether salvation and what is required of them to be a Christian, let alone what Paul called the deep things of God, where he used the terms launch out into the deep, saying great is the mystery of godliness. Whereas the Bible said, Revelation 10 and 7, at the sounding of the last trumpet, that mystery would be finished. Which means that there is a people that's going to get it. There is a people, it's going to be a few, but they're going to get the deep mysteries of God, and they're going to understand the hidden things of God, that heavenly wisdom. They're going to understand it. For now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God in the heavenly places. How can it be made known to the church? Because the Bible said you're sitting together in heavenly places. He hath lifted us up in Christ to those heavenly places. And tonight, being in the heavenly places, we have opportunity to the great mysteries of God. So then, as I say, there won't be a great deal of people get that because as scientists, very few people get that knowledge. It's only devoted men that follow after it with all of their lives. But they provide for the children and the parents lay up for the children that the others may enjoy the electric lights. And the others may enjoy all the conveniences of automotive power, and that the children may enjoy all of the wonderful inventions. Though they don't understand them, yet they enjoy them. And it takes study and concern to be able to understand them. And it's the same way with God. The parents lay up for the children that they may shout, sing, and have a good time. But at the same time, if you want to be one with that man called Jesus, and if you want to be the bride, you're going to have to get into these things. Some people have it in their mind that they're just going to be the bride because they belong to some religious organization or they belong to somebody or because they had some great leader that they followed. But I can assure you that that is so wrong. To be the bride of Christ, there's only one way. He is the Word. And a man's wife is one with Him. So to be one with God, you've got to be one with the Word. One with the Word. That is to know the Word, to understand the Word, to love the Word, to live the Word, and to be one with the Word. And that's going to take a little effort, folks, to get into that place. All right, chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, And they had on their head crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Father of heaven, tonight I ask you to add your blessings to the word of God, and I ask you to be with us tonight. I ask you to touch the congregation tonight. Anoint their hearts, O Lord. I realize that this is the end of the world and that your coming is at hand. And I know that the only thing that can save us and take us into that great place, Heavenly Father, is faith in God. So tonight, by your Spirit, it is not by power or might, but by your Spirit. And by your Spirit tonight, I ask you to come here. And I ask you to condition the hearts of these people. For the condition of men's heart, Father, and the preparation of men's heart is from God. If you prepare their heart to hear, then I'll know that you're concerned about these people. If you do not prepare their hearts to hear, then I know, O God, then you will not receive them. So tonight, everyone that you have that you are interested in, prepare their hearts to hear. And everyone, Father, that you want to hear this tonight, O God, unto the mysteries of thy kingdom and unto the judgment of by which they'll be judged unto that day, I ask you to prepare their hearts and open their hearts and minds tonight, that we may say something that may go deep down into their soul and do something for them tonight. I ask you to do it in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. I feel the wonderful anointing of God tonight. I feel the quickening and the Spirit of God racing through my body tonight. I want to say again that I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I hope that in this meeting I might be able to capture your attention and your concern, that I may say something to help you. I want to pray for the sick. I want God to heal. He has healed for us many times, and I believe that He'll do it here. But at the same time, I don't want to just come here to pray for the sick and come here to have a singing, shouting good time. Most ministers do that and take up an offering, and then they leave. And when they leave, you're no better off than you was before they came. In a few days, you're full of fear and anxiety and frustration and tore up, and all you have is a memory of the camp meeting or tent meeting, and you don't have any understanding of God's Word or whatever, to where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and overcome the devil and keep your lives clean, that you may inherit eternal life. So tonight, I want to speak to you from the Word, and while I'm in this meeting, I want to say something that might benefit you to make you a stronger Christian and a greater person in honoring and obeying what our Master said about growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the grace and knowledge. A lot of people want to grow in the grace, but they don't care anything about growing in the knowledge. But folks, we're going to have to grow in the knowledge, or we're not going to be translated, because faith is what translates us out of this world. Did you know Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death? He was translated by faith that he should not see death. And though we are waiting around for some Thessalonian change, according to the church world, we're standing around waiting for this Thessalonian change. It's supposed to take us out of this world. I can assure you tonight that that isn't going to happen unless you prepare your hearts and lives and come into a place to where you are a candidate for this wonderful change. And so then tonight, I want to bring the thoughts to you concerning Revelation 4, that there is a door open in heaven. John saw a door open in heaven right at the end of the church ages. Chapter 3 of Revelation, the church ages ends, and in chapter 4, there is a door that is open in heaven. And this door was opened by Peter. The Bible teaches that it was opened by Peter in the sense that God gave him the kingdom or the keys to the kingdom when he recognized who Jesus was. When Peter recognized who Jesus was, then there was given unto him a key to the kingdom of God. God has a door that is open in heaven. It was open at Pentecost, and Jesus was that door. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold, and all that ever came after me was robbers and thieves. I am the door to the sheepfold. I'm the only entrance into heaven, and if you get into heaven, you're going to have to go by me. To wait around for a Thessalonian change, as the church world teaches, is absolutely wrong. There isn't going to be any Thessalonian change unless you come to God's Word and get faith in God's Word, because Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what that is, that's in the Old Testament. But if it doesn't have anything to do with today, and if it doesn't have anything to do with the change in the hour in which we live, I'd love to know why that Paul the Apostle, the great wonderful overseer of the Gentile church, I'd like to know why this great man that received the revelation of Jesus Christ came along and spoke about the translation of Enoch, the great man of God in the Old Testament. Why does he refer back to the Old Testament and to the translation of the church if it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about tonight? Why does he refer back to it? By faith in the Word of God. You say, but Brother Pine, there was no Word of God back in that day. But the Bible said the heavens declare His handiwork. And the Bible said the Scriptures appeared unto the prophets of old and to them that was in the Old Testament, that God's Word came to them. And though it came to them in a spiritual form, it still came to them. And tonight we have it in a printed literal page. Yet God's Word is still present in a spiritual form. And though I may preach this Word to you, if you cannot get into the Spirit to hear what the Spirit is saying unto you, then you still won't be translated to get out of this world without seeing death. There won't be any way. There's going to be a people that is going to bypass the grave. There is a people that's going to bypass the grave. And we're living in the age and in the moment of that great translation. We're living in the moment of the rapture of the church. It's obvious, according to what's taking place over in Israel, it's very obvious that this is the end of the world. The Bible tells us that when the cities of Jerusalem are compassed about with armies, then the end of the world will come. We as Gentile people, we look on and we think, well, everything's like it's always been. There's no difference in it. Why do we have to worry? We don't have anything to worry about. It's the same as always. But I want you to know that the end of the world is here. The end of the world is here. And people that are eating and drinking and frolicking up and down the beaches and doing the things of the world, they are blind as bats. They don't understand. You go into the sandwich shops. You go into the dining places, and hundreds and thousands of people, like dogs and pigs, are just cramming in and eating. And they're not interested in the soul, and they're not interested in the things of God. You go down into Florida or someplace, and the beaches are just literally lined with them. Why is this? Because they are beasts. They are not children of God. You say, but Brother Pike, I know Christians that go to the beach and deck out in their swimming suits and do these things. Those people are not Christians. Those people are hypocrites. That's hypocrisy. When a person roams the beach and goes up and down those places in bathing suits and strips off and shows the nudeness of their body, that is Satan. That is evil. The devil savors the things that be of the flesh, not God. You say, but I know that this is Pentecostal people. I don't care if it's a Pentecostal church. I don't care if it's what they call a Jesus name church. I don't care if it's Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. It is still of the devil. If the preacher's down there, he's of the devil. If the people are down there, they're of the devil. And anybody that roams around in nudeness like that is of the devil. You know, people come into this tent a lot of times, or other tents, with shorts on. I'm asked the question frequently. They ask me this question. They say, Brother Pike, should we let people come in under the tent with shorts on? I said, absolutely not. I make allowance sometimes when people come in pantsuits. Women, that's wrong. They are not supposed to do that. But for the sake of the soul, if they've got their neckness covered, I try my best to at least reach the soul. But did you know anybody that would come in under a tent or go into a church with shorts on? Did you know that's an abomination in the sight of God? Anybody's got more sense than that. Even sinner people that have heard about God's got more sense than that. And when people come in, as a rule, it's a very rare case otherwise, as a rule, they're coming in because the devil brought them in there to break down the standards, to contaminate, and to pervert the people's minds. And if we don't have enough boldness to stand up for some kind of godly standard, those people will literally wreck everything that God has got in the earth. Folks, let me tell you something tonight. God has a standard of holiness. Did you know that? God has a standard. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, this is the modern age. I don't care how modern it is. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ hasn't changed because of your modern age. God foresaw this modern age before you ever came on the earth. God foresaw this age of rockets and whatever. He ordained this age of rockets. And I understand spiritually why He ordained it. It had to be that way. But that doesn't have anything to do with virtue and the purity of God. If you are a Christian, you'll dress holy. If you are a Christian, you'll talk holy. If you are a Christian, you'll have a holy environment. If you're a real true Christian, you're not going to go into your home and see half-nude women and men in pictures hanging on the wall. If you are a real genuine Christian, you're not going to go into that home and find somebody sitting looking at some mess on television that sprang out of Hollywood out there. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what's wrong with Hollywood? I preached in Hollywood and it's filthy. It's one of the most filthy places in the world. One of the most low down places in the earth. And yet through that pipeline from that region of filth, you feed it to your children and wonder why they commit harlotry and why they commit murder and why they do all of these things. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I think you're fanatic. I am. They tell me that a fanatic is one that believes something and feels like everybody else ought to believe it. I believe this and feel like everybody else ought to believe it, so I'm a fanatic, according to the human definition. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing for sure. God's word is right. And the Bible teaches that God will feed you the fruits of your thinking. And when you stick a little boy or girl under a TV and you program their mind with the filth that comes on that thing, then that means that child is going to grow up to be whatever you have put in his mind. We need to put godliness in his mind. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Make your thoughts to be virtuous. Make your thoughts to be holy. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. God is expecting us to be obedient in our thinking. You can't roam up and down a beach decked out in a bathing suit. You can't roam up and down that place looking at the filth and the nudeness and still retain God in your heart. Somebody says, but I can, Brother Pike. You are a liar. You can't do it. The scriptures can't be broke. And the Bible said you can't do it. Now you say, but what about in the city, Brother Pike? We see all that in the city. I understand that it's all over the city. But there's one thing about it. We don't go there to see that. We are caught in the environment of it. And Jesus said he understood that. I can walk in the midst of that and keep my heart clean because I did not go out there to see that. I have to go out in the world. I have to go out there among the people to reach the people and tell them about Jesus. You have to go out there to work. And God understands that. But you do not go to see nude people. You do not go to take part in their filth. But when you go down to the bathing pools and you go down to these other things, you willfully in your heart had something that caused you to go down there. Somebody would say, well, I went down there because of the water. That's not true, because you got water in your bathtub as a rule. You didn't go there for that purpose. There's something that's driving you. There's something that's on the inside of you that makes you want to strip off. You're burned in your lust. You're burned in your passions. You got a hunger for the world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. You've got a love for the world, and that's what drove you down there. It's that zip, that zeal. It's that inside gnawing that causes you to want to get out there with the rest of them. You know why? Because you are a part of the rest of them. And I'll tell you what, if you were the part of the early church, you'd want to go in the back room and fast and pray. If you were the part of the early church, you'd want to be caught somewhere doing something for Christ. You'd want to feed the hungry. You'd want to clothe those that are in need. You'd have your mind on world evangelism. You'd be trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You wouldn't be interested in the things of the world and running around and looking for new automobiles and prestige and home and trying to get money and convenience in this world. You know why you do those things? Because you are of the world and you've got the love of the world in you. And because you've got the love of the world in you, then that thing gnaws at you. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. Let's face it like it is. Just because the Pentecostal churches of today have compromised to the extent that you're just about as well off in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or anything else, that doesn't mean God has compromised the standards. That doesn't mean God has changed His Word. Did you know I've seen a lot of people in the Baptist church filled with the Holy Ghost? I have had Methodist friends that had the Spirit. I know Catholic people that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know Pentecostal people that are filled with the devil. So then God is not interested in what kind of title you've got. He's interested in preaching the gospel to every creature. And He's interested in the Word of God. As to whether you'll listen to the Word and hear the Word and go the way of the Word. This is what God is interested in. And beloved friend, if we don't take God's Word and listen to God's Word and program our minds according to the Word of God to get in and do the things of God, God will turn us into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell, and America is no exception. America is no exception. God will turn America into hell just as quick as He will anybody else. All nations that forget the Word of God will be turned into hell. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word is still God. And all nations that forget this Word will be turned into the lake of fire. Now, if I have the love of God in me, I don't have the love of the world. If I have the love of the world in me, I don't have the love of God in me. I cannot have darkness and light on the inside. A good fountain cannot bring forth bitter water and sweet water. It just doesn't happen that way. And when we get into a rut, a religious rut, of thinking that we can do the things of the world and get mixed up in the bathing suits and in the sports of the world and the things of this world, brethren, we are mixed up and we are badly mixed up. Now, I lose some of my congregation in every meeting, but I gain some more. I lose them because I preach against the world and all of them that's of the world. Either they do one thing or another. They convert and come over to Christ, or they leave, because the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. In every tent meeting, you'll see somebody pop up. We've done had some of them tonight. And they'll pop up and leave. Why do they do that? Because the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. They're going to do one thing or another. They're going to convert over in their mind and come to Christ, or either they're going to retain what they've got, take a resistance, and get up, and the wind will blow the chaff away. It'll happen in every case. Now, I love God. If you love God tonight, we can walk together. But if you don't love God, then we can't walk together, because two can't walk together lest they be agreed. If you love God and I love God and I preach the gospel and I magnify Christ and lift up the Word and tell you His desire, then you'll join hands with me and we can walk together. But beloved friend, if I tell you the truth and you don't love the truth and you don't have a love for the truth, there's one thing that's going to happen to you, and that is you're going to get upset and you're going to leave and go your way. And you're not going to want any part of Brother Pike. But I want you to know tonight, ball games is of the devil. I preach this everywhere I go. Ball games is of the devil. You may have a ball team in your church. You may have a great ball thing going on in your life so far as athletes, but it's of the devil. Basketball is of the devil. Baseball is of the devil. Football is of the devil. All of those things are of the devil. It's of the world. And Satan loveth the things that be of the world. You can go out here and let a little boy play ball and a little girl jump rope and whatever. That's all right. When I was a child, I spake as a child, Paul said. But when we start getting our little leaguer teams to program our children's mind with something that's going to kill their soul, then we are a bunch of foolish people. And when we start going to the ball games and sitting around spewing soda pop and sitting around laughing and hollering and screaming for somebody to wallow around in the mud or to beat on something with a stick, then we are a poor-minded people. Not if we are of the world, because the world was made to do that. But if we are Christians, or say that we are Christians, then we are poor-minded people, because it's for sure that we're in bad shape. God doesn't want ball games in the church. It's time that the church got ball games out of it. I was over in the valley of Alabama preaching numbers of years ago. I was there preaching. I had my tent set up in the valley, and we was preaching, and God blessed us and gave us some healings. And one day I was seeking the Lord. I'd been on my knees for about 9 hours talking to God. And while I was talking to the Lord revealed some things to me. And God spoke to my heart while I was there in the valley, and He showed me that the great man Oral Roberts was going to turn to ball games and lose out with God in his old age. Oral Roberts was a flame of fire on the field at that time. He was moving across the nation, and such great things was taking place until people came from overseas. They thought the end of the world had come. But God spoke to me and said, "Son, he'll lose out in his old age." And said, "The thing that's going to do it is basketball." Said he'll turn to basketball, and his wife, being a school teacher, the knowledge of the world, those things together is going to overthrow Oral Roberts in his old age, and he's going to leave his steadfastness as being a clean, godly man so far as holiness, and he's going to turn to the things of the world and get involved in the things of the world. I told my wife, she's sitting here tonight, and I told some of the others confidentially that are sitting here tonight. It came to pass that a few years ago, I understand that Oral Roberts was having a meeting over here in Memphis, Tennessee, a great meeting. We preached over there, and we've had some wonderful meetings ourselves. And he had gotten himself a ball team. He had gotten himself a basketball team. And at that time, he was having a great revival. And all of a sudden, the revival continuing on and God blessing it, he suddenly was made to remember that he had a basketball game coming up, a great basketball game. There he stood and had to make his decision between the basketball game and winning souls. And the great man Oral Roberts, that had been a flame on the field for God, according to what he knew and understood, made his decision, walked off and left the meeting and went to the ball game. And since that time, he's had everything from rock and roll to dancing to I don't know what on his program and in his life, until heartaches and sorrow has flooded his life. What is it? It is because he tried to bring the things of the world into Christianity. You know, it's a sad situation, but great men of God that have come up, that has established moves of God and things for God, it is sad to think that their followers have gotten into such a condition that if they came back, they would not even recognize him. Did you know this is what happened to the Son of God? He gave a message to Moses, and he chose the people. And he told that people that someday, if they would follow this great leader Moses, he said, "I'll come back and I'll set up a kingdom on this earth, and I'll take you as a people, and I'll set up a government, and there won't be no nation in the world that will be superior to you." He said, "And I'll make you the head, not the tail." He said, "But if you dishonor me and you disobey me, I will make the other nations great, and I will make you to be the tail. And if you do what I tell you, you'll lend to many nations and won't borrow. But if you don't do what I tell you, I'll make you borrow, and you'll be always the tail and someone else the head." And did you know that when Jesus came to get his kingdom, those people had perverted the word of God, and they'd gotten a hold of the traditions of the elders, and they had brought additives into the program of God in such a way that they had been so perverted down through the years, and they had the people so perverted, until when Christ Jesus himself stood and talked with them, they kicked him out, crucified him, rejected him, and said, "We don't want you." And did you know that's the same way it is today? We're back here today preaching the gospel, And did you know the world is doing the same thing? When Christ himself, having come at this moment to receive his bride, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, having come into the earth to get his people, they have perverted the churches so much until they don't even recognize Christ anymore. It is no wonder they're going to go to the Antichrist. Jesus, come back. He doesn't want a football player for a bride. He's not interested in a baseball player for a bride. He's not interested in somebody stripping off naked, running up and down the beach for a bride. God isn't interested in nothing like that. He's interested in somebody that loves him with all of their heart, that's following after him with all of their heart, that loves him with all of their mind, all of their thinking, all of their strength, all of their desire. And they have but one longing, that is to please him and do the things that God wants them to do. See, right now the church world is in such a condition that they can't even recognize the Son of God. They can't even tell that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning into the earth. They don't recognize him. All of these programs and clubs, they try to play it up big. Why do they get baseball players? Why do they get basketball players? Why do they get these great athletes? Why do they get these great celebrities, these great leaders? It's so that they can draw the attention of the people, because the world loves its own. And they know those things are a big figure to the world. And if they can get the attention of all the people of the world through these great leaders of the world, they'll get the money that you've got and have a greater enterprise. That's the truth, and you know that it's the truth. And the Bible said, if you love not the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. Let you believe a lie and be damned, and he'll send you these strong delusions concerning these things about the sports world and these kind of things, and you'll believe it and go after it. And God said, I'll send you strong delusions, and I'll cause you to believe a lie and let you be damned. The preparation of man's heart is from God. Folks, it's time that we come out from those things. You say, but Brother Pike, this is the modern day. What are we going to do? The churches are so great, and they're so powerful, and they're so many. And these great churches have people in bondage. And Brother Pike, there's no way that you can change sports, and there's no way that you can stop sports, and there's no way you can stop these things. Beloved friend, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to change sports, and I'm not trying to stop sports, and I'm not trying to change that situation out there at all. Slop is for the hogs. Let the hogs eat the slop. Jesus said they go back to their wallowing in the mire, and the dog back to his vomit. Let them have that belongs to them. That's the land of Esau. I'm not trying to change that. What I'm trying to tell you is to get the vomit out of the church. God doesn't want it in the church. You say, Brother Pike, there's no vomit in the church. God said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. That means it's lukewarm. Laodicean, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's just a bunch of vomit, he said. Hypocrisy. Get that off of the tables of God. He said you can't eat at the tables of God and eat at the tables of devils. What are those people preaching, Brother Pike, when they tell me that I can be a Christian and do all those things? It is a doctrine of the devil. The Bible warned against the doctrines of the devil. The devil's got all kinds of doctrines. And he'll start a movement over here with a doctrine and start a movement over there with a doctrine. You know what? That brings something to my mind right now. There's another thing that we spoke of last night. The great man William Branham that had a message from God. He started some great things. And though every man seems to err in some way or another, yet God has blessed him and hope him. But nevertheless, this man being great and powerful in his ministry, it has happened to his followers the same way it's happened to all of the other followers. They have perverted what has been taught. They have taken what has been given and used it for the flesh until it's absolutely unbelievable. I told him not too long ago, I said, you bunch of fellas, some of you, you're going to take this thing called the serpent seed, and I said, you're going to turn that thing into the work of the devil, and you're going to get the lust of the flesh mixed up in it, and you're going to get a bunch of lustful people following after it until it's going to be one great big sloppy mess. Oh, that's blasphemy. You can't do that and all these other kind of things. But one of the greatest men that was in the movement, a man that was in the tabernacle, was known to be the evangelist of the tabernacle. He told me personally, I told him that would happen years ago. Even he couldn't believe it. But he came to my house not too long ago in tears, and he said, Brother Pike, it is so filthy and degraded and low down concerning the things they taught about the serpent seed. Said, until the women And I won't even repeat the filthy things that he mentioned concerning some of it. He said it's unbelievable. And he cried with a broken heart, and I can't believe it, Brother Pike. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter what God puts in the earth. If you don't stay with God's word and if you don't be honest-hearted, you're going to have another brother to come in, and you're going to have another sister to come in, and you're going to have another member to come in. And every now and then the devil's going to slip in a son or a daughter. And the Bible said when the children of God came to present themselves before God, the devil's children came also. And the sons of the devil came also. And them strong-spirited, perverted people will work that thing around just like they've done the government of the United States and just like they do all the other governments of the world. They'll keep making insertions and additions and changing that thing around and twisting it up until you won't know what's been taught and you won't know what the government is and you won't be able to understand any of it. It'll be just one big mass confusion. You know where the problem is? Leaving the Word of God. When our men of old and our forefathers came to America, they established this as a nation with freedom of worship. They come here on the strength of God and stood and raised their hands to God and said, "In God do we trust." And God blessed them and God stood with them. But they let these perverted people get into the White House, and instead of the people having a backbone and standing up and making them get out of there, they let them stay in there until they perverted it so till none of you can do anything anymore. You've let them get such a control now, it's like a Gestapo. It's like it was in Germany. You rise up and the police comes and gets you. You rise up and say something, they put you in the federal penitentiary. That's exactly the way it is in the church. That's the way it is with every doctrine that's come along. Almost all of the church is perverted. It's become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And they've driven out the saints of God. And they've driven out the standards of holiness. They've driven out everything that stood up for righteousness. And they say, "You can't teach that. Why can't you teach that? Because the lawyer's wife doesn't believe in that. You can't teach that because the senator's wife doesn't believe in that. You can't teach that because the president doesn't see it that way. You can't do that because the doctor, he comes over here and we can't afford to do that. We've got businessmen. We've got men of respect. The bunch of devils. We can preach it. It don't make no difference if the doctor's there. I told a doctor to his face, he's going to die and go to hell if he didn't do right. I told the banker would shut the door and say, "Come and pray with me, Brother Pike." I said, "I'll do it. Shut to the office of your door. The first thing I want to tell you, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get straightened out." I told the dentist that. I've had the doctors to come and counsel with me and the tears rolling down their cheeks. And I still told them it's going to die and go to hell if they didn't get straightened out. Why do you let money move you? Why do you let prestige move you? Why do you let some athlete, some great star, a movie star, or whatever move you? I've told them all they'll die and go to hell. I'm telling you tonight you'll die and go to hell. It doesn't matter with me whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a businessman or whether you're a professional person. You'll die and go to hell if you don't get straightened out. And these tapes that they make from this preaching that goes out to thousands of people over radio stations in different places and to the television places, I tell them the same thing. You'll die and go to hell if you don't get straightened out. All of you. It doesn't matter about your programs. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you've got PTL. It doesn't matter if you got 700 Club. I've told them all the same thing. I told Jim Baker before he fell into the problems he did with his wife. And I told her the kind of thing that was going to happen if they didn't do something better than what they were doing. They're compromising and having every kind of filth on the show. It's wrong. God isn't pleased with it. Somebody needs to say something about it. I told his wife, I said, "You hadn't got the problem that you think you got. You're talking about having nerve problem." I said, "It's devil problem, compromising with the world and acting the way you're acting." I said, "That's where the problem is." I told Pat Robertson the same thing. "You got to straighten up and do right." Pat Robertson stood up yonder in the Washington for Jesus meeting. And he made the statement, said, "We feel like we're all backslid." Said, "We feel like we need to come to God." I feel like they are too, and they need to come to God. Somebody say amen or shut up. It don't matter. I'm going to preach anyway. So then, what we need to do is to use what we got for God. Folks, let me tell you something. This is a dark world around us. We think about this world as being a great religious light. But the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. This world is covered with darkness. And Jesus came into it. He said, I am a light and the only light in this world of intellectual darkness. From that old tree of knowledge and that old corrupt thing called Lucifer. I'm the only light. And he said, I'm going to light a few candles. And like the old lamplighter, he did. And the Bible said, your spirit is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And he went around and he lit a few candles. And then he said, children, I've got to go away. Now you're the light of the world. And he said, you light a few more candles. And you keep on until we get enough of them lit that we'll run the devil and the darkness out of this world. And we'll redeem it for Christ. You ever been to a candlelight service? Let's light up for God. Let's get the devil out of the world. Let's let his will be done on this earth as in heaven. Let's reestablish the things of God and the ways of God to bring in that great, wonderful millennium day. If something is wrong, then let's say it's wrong. Like over here in Atlanta, Georgia, we got a great man over there, Junior Paul. He's a great man, a mighty man. He's been a great flame. But years ago, God showed me he was going to fall into a trap. I spoke of it in a few days after that, he fell into the trap. And it really wrecked him to the extent that they put him out of the church. And then later he made a comeback. And he's got a great work there now. And he was going along real good. And we was praying and hoping that God would do something extra special for him. But all of a sudden he says God spoke to him and told him to come up here and tell Jim Baker and Pat Robinson and also Sha'Carron, whom we've met, was a friend of ours, the full gospel businessman. Having ministered from California, he's a pretty nice fella. But anyway, this boy had a word from God. He says, God said to me that one of you is Elijah and the other one is Moses, that you're the two prophets of Revelation. That's a lie. God didn't tell him that. Somebody said, look out, Brother Pike. I don't have to look out about that. God didn't tell him no such thing. He lied. You say, why did he lie, Brother Pike? So that he could get the fame and popularity of 700 Club. And a Jim Baker. And they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. It's a lie. God didn't tell him that. God didn't speak to him like that. Folks, listen. Those kind of things hurt the kingdom of God. When the reporter come down there to talk to us from the Constitution a few days ago and was quizzing me over some things, I said, God didn't tell Junior Paul that. God didn't tell him that. You know what? Here's the trouble. Some people don't know where they're going and they don't know what they're doing and they don't know what's right and what's wrong. The devil has got them in such a web until he said, don't say nothing now, be careful now. And he gets them in such, he draws such a ring around them that they ain't worth 15 cents to God or themselves or nobody else. The Bible said they're dumb dogs that can't bark. That's as good as the devil wants, is to get you in a circle and get you to where you won't speak and won't say nothing. Brethren, listen, break out of that old spider web, get out of that old carnal mind, and stand up and call black, black, and white, white, and tell the devil to his face that he's the devil. You know what? The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Somebody said, well, if I say that, they'll leave. Well, that's what the Bible said, the devil would leave. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to get rid of him? Some man out, I was preaching out in Colorado and we was talking. He said, Brother Pike said, if I preach like it under my tent, I'd lose half of my congregation. I said, well, ain't that what it's all about? You know, the Bible said God would divide the sheep from the goats. What are you trying to do? You can't take devils to heaven. We're not here to try to get the crowd. If I was going to try to get the crowd, I'd join the priesthood. You love the Lord? I said, if I was going to try to get the crowd, I'd try to be another Hitler. Or I'd try to do something else to get a crowd. Billy Graham draws a big crowd, but he can't do what the Pope does. So Billy's second in command, he takes his orders from the Pope. Somebody say amen. That's the way it goes. I saw Billy Graham in a vision. I saw him in Atlanta, Georgia, lifted way up on a high pinnacle, standing at the top of it. And I saw thousands of people down there around him. And I saw God highly displeased with him. They magnified him and lifted him up. And the thing that he wanted to do was get in the Catholic Church. And did you know shortly after that, he come and made the statement around Atlanta, Georgia, the places there. He made the statements what he wanted to do was be a father. But did you know what? It wasn't long after that before I got one of the fathers. One of the most learned priests and fathers in all of the country, and I preached baptism in Jesus' name to him and preached one God until he said, you know what, Brother Pike? Said, I am convinced that the first pope was wrong. Or the first pope was right, I beg your pardon. And that the first established order that followed the first pope said he was wrong. I said, you said Peter's the first pope. Right, he said. I said, Peter baptized in Jesus' name. I said, how do you baptize? He got so mixed up and so crossed up. He said, well, so I'll tell you what, said, baptize me in Jesus' name. Said, the Catholic Church is just wrong. Said, that's all it is to it. Said, they made a mistake. I said, you really believe Peter was the first pope? Said, he definitely was the first pope. Said, Jesus ordained him. And said, the rest of them, if they've gone contrary, that means they're just mistaken. You're wrong. You love the Lord? See, what is it? We're not trying to get into the Catholic Church. What they need to do is repent and get straightened out with God and come into what we're teaching. We're not trying to get into the Methodists and the Baptists and the Church of God and the Pentecostal Holiness and the Assemblies and the Presbyterians and all the other churches. What we're trying to do is to preach the gospel and tell them to get the evil out of their midst and to call upon the name of Jesus and come together as a Christian brotherhood. Not as some charismatic order, not as some 700 club, not as some PTL. I'm not against calling yourself PTL. I'm not against calling yourself 700. 700 club, what that really means is that Pat got 700 people together to support a program. And they pledged so much money, 700 people pledged so much money, it's probably the 1,000 or 10,000 club now. But nevertheless, that's what it was. PTL, I don't have anything against that. The only thing is, when I told Jim Baker that God was going to leave him for what he was doing, I noticed that immediately they changed it from praise the Lord to people that love. I got to thinking about it and I said, well, that's it. The Lord's out of it altogether. He left it. It was praise the Lord. You know what, folks? That which is of the world is going to love it. If them men love God and if them men were straight with God, they'd teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the apostolic way of life, and they'd stand up boldly on those TV shows and they'd tell the world about the Son of God. And they would change their situation and they'd boot out all of these fellas that's running around in sports and all of the celebrities, and they'd condescend to men of low estate. And the Bible said salvation was sent to the poor, and the common people heard Jesus gladly, and they'd go to the common side of life and have all things common and forget about the celebrity side of life and condescend to people that could understand what they're trying to say. There is a door that's open in heaven, John said. And what is that door? Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the door. And who is that door? The Word. For the Bible said the Word was made flesh. And how do I get through that door? By faith in the Word. How can I get into the presence of the eternal, invisible God who is a Spirit? Through the faith of the Word. Tonight, I preach these things on a level to where you can understand it. I preach it on a human level to where you can conceive what I'm saying in your minds. But oh, how I would love to preach this on the level of the great Spirit and the revelation and the translation and the understanding of the great things of God. But some of you don't, you're not spiritual enough to even listen. You're not spiritual enough to even get it. If I tried to talk to you, I'd lose my entire congregation practically. But there's one thing about it. By the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And God wants us to have the revelation. But to hold people's attention, you got to scream and jump and holler. And by the foolishness of preaching, you got to do that. If you try to get something over them in a calm, collective way, they'll walk out on you. You've got to do something, you know. In other words, you got to hit the ball or kick the ball or roll or tumble or do something. Jump up and down or bounce around or scream or do something. You know, if you're going to keep people's attention. Man climbing a pole in a tent. I said, what are you doing that for? He said, this is the way I keep the people's attention. He said, well, boy, that was some dummy. He's one of the greatest leading evangelists on the field. Has taken in more money and one of the greatest in reputation across the world. He's a pole climber. Somebody said, well, God's in that. He might be. I don't know. I know David said, I leaped over a wall and run through a troop. I guess he could be. But it's one thing about it, I wasn't called to climb poles, so I don't know, that's his part of it, you know. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I believe that we should be like Jesus. I believe that we should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people of their sins. Jesus said to them, said, you've made my Father's house a place of money changers. And he got upset and he threw the money table over and popped the whip and drove them out. He stood out there and he said, you hypocrite, said, why do you tempt me? He said, Pharisees, scribes, preachers, leaders, he was calling them, said, you're hypocrites. Some doctor of the law of Moses came up and he said, oh, master, he said, you reproach us by talking like that. He said, you hypocrite. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, well, I just imagine Jesus put his loving arms around him and drawed him to his breath and said, son, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. After all, who knows what he had given the offering? Jesus said, you hypocrite, come here talking about me offending you. Let me tell you something. The Bible said in many things we offend all, and blessed is he that is not offended in me. Jesus is loving. Jesus is kind. Jesus is sweet. Jesus is the most darling thing that ever happened to mankind. And he's loving and kind to me, and he's loving and kind to you. But God don't like hypocrites, folks. Now, he can get along with sinners all right, because if a man don't know, he don't know. And God will reach out there and try to woo him and help him, and he spilt his blood to give him a chance. But a hypocrite, he said, you hypocrite, you stand at the door and you become a religious parasite, and you won't go into the kingdom of God, and you hinder everybody that's coming. You get over there somewhere and you won't go in and live a holy, godly life. You got to start a ball game and stand there at the door and pervert everybody else that comes in. You do like Absalom done David. And someday God will hang you by your head like he did Judas. He done Absalom that way. That beautiful hair that Absalom flopped around on the top of his cranium up here. One day God let a tree snatch him up off of a saddle like that. Hung him by that beautiful hair. Some of you ladies throw your hair around and you're more interested in your hair than you are the Word of God. And some of you men that let it grow out like feathers, you're more interested in it than you are to please God. Someday God will do you like Judas and he'll hang you up by the hair of the head. And like Joab, when Joab come by, he throw darts in the hearts of Absalom. Because Absalom had burned his barley fields. He was still upset at him. God will let your worst enemy come by. You know what you need to do, ladies? Get your mind off your bodies. Stop trying to show your bodies off. Men, you need to get your mind off of the women. And you need to get your minds out of lust. And you need to get your minds off of your body and off of your face. And get your minds on God. And some of you need to get your mind off of money and prestige and the foolishness of this world of trying to have the man over on the next corner of saying, now boy, he really knows how to do it. He's really something. Get your mind off of that kind of foolishness and realize that that's a devil walking around over there that's going to hell, and he's got your attention and he's going to take you to hell with him, because if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. I love you tonight and I want to help you tonight. Just had to turn over a few tables. I love you tonight, and I want to help you tonight. And I do whatever I can to help you. But you're going to have to do right, folks. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of hypocrisy here in Charlotte. You say, well, there's a lot of it everywhere else. I know that. Everywhere I go, I find it. I find it in Tennessee. I find it in Texas. I find it in California. I find it in a number of places. But I'm going to tell you something. Here in the areas of Carolina, God's got a lot of common people. And God intends to reach some of the people in the Carolinas, because they're some of the finest, best people that ever walked on the earth in the Carolinas. But some of them has got down in the sloppiest, messiest, gummiest sort of a condition of anybody in the world. They have listened to preachers and listened to things and got perverted in their thinkings and in their doings. And preachers has come along and led them into some of the biggest messes I have ever seen anywhere in the world. And folks, it's time that you got out of it. It's time that you got your word and go over to some preacher and put your finger on his nose, so to speak, and tell him, say, look, fella, what are you doing? Talking like you're talking. And say, show that to me in the Bible. And if you can't show that to me in the Bible, you keep your mouth shut. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, folks don't just do that. David was a king. God said to the prophet, go say something to him. He went to David. He said, David, such and such and such. Certain thing took place, he said, David. Said, and a stranger came by, and the stranger was hungry. Said he went to a certain great man's place. And so that great man had plenty and plenty of lambs and whatever that he could have slain for him. Said, but did you know what he'd done? So that fellow went and took another fellow and took that one wee little lamb that he had and slew him for that stranger. Said, David, what do you think we ought to do? David didn't say it in these words, but except to say, take his head off. He said, David, thou art the man. David, thou art the man. David, thou art the man. You're the one that's guilty of the perversion. You're the one that's guilty of misleading. You're the one that was in the leadership among the people, and you're the one that's perverted them. You're the one that they've admired and looked on, David. Thou art the man, David. The Bible said the sword never did depart out of his house. Instead of holding a godly light and a standard of righteousness to glorify the Son of God and to glorify the kingdom of God, he said, David, you've took the abased side of life and you've turned to the things of this world and you've led God's people into a snare. Let me tell you something, folks. Whether in Charlotte, whether it be in another city, whether it be in California, whatever, sin is sin and darkness is darkness. And the Bible said, woe unto that man that calls darkness light and light darkness. God will magnify you. God will magnify me. God will magnify people. But it is for a purpose, and I'm going to close in just a minute. It is for a purpose, and when God magnifies you, if you don't do right, God will cut the limbs out from under you, and when you fall, you'll fall hard. People that have been perverted and Jezebels and everything else that didn't even have any of God within them. Him talking about them going and winning souls. What he should have said is go into all the world and proselyte and turn him into a child twofold more the child of hell than there was to start with. Because that's what the rest of them has done. But let me tell you something. It is a true fact that in some ways, in some families, some men have become doctors, some have become lawyers, some have become senators, some have become great men, some have become millionaires, some have become rich. Because God raised them up. God had a purpose and God had a plan. And he knew he had to take care of his humble little group of people. And he raised them up and he gave them a place like unto the great men of the earth. He said, David, I've raised you up and give you a place like unto the great men of the earth. I've made you a leader to my people. And God has done that, folks, for one purpose. And that's that they might be in there to protect this little flock of God until God could get rid of the devils and demons and the wicked ones like Haman that seek to take their lives. He's done that. But I want to tell you something, doctor, lawyer, whatever you might be that hears this or that's in here, whatever, whoever. Whether we be a rich man, whether we be a doctor, whether we be a lawyer, or whatever, God is going to require holiness out of you. He's got a standard of holiness, and he said, let your fruits be unto holiness, and whether you've got it or whether you haven't got it, so far as the prestige of the world, God isn't going to alter his word. You're going to come down the same avenue of righteousness, or you're going to die and go to hell, and all of your prestige ain't going to be worth nothing to you. That goes for Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and George Pike, and it would have went for anybody else that has ever walked this earth. It went for William Branham, and it went for Abraham, and it went for Elijah, and it went for Paul, and it went for Peter, and it went for all of them, and God didn't change it for anybody. This foolishness of running around talking about God changing things for William Branham, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. William Branham was no more to God than anybody else except for the anointing. And you're no more to God than anybody else. Somebody come to me, I said something about the marriage and divorce. Said something about it when they come, said, Brother Branham preached such and such. I said, you sure must have misunderstood him. I was down in Florida. That was just before God showed me the man's death. I was in Florida. The angel of God appeared to me. And they said, Brother Branham said, it's all right. If you've been living with that woman and you got children and all these kind of things, you just stay right where you're at. Stay with that woman. I said, I can't help it if Brother Branham said it. I don't care if Paul the Apostle said it. I don't care who said it. I said, if it's not wrote down in the Bible, I said, it's not God and I won't have it. It's not God and I said, it's of the devil and God won't stand by it. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. No, there's no waiting about it. Paul made it very plain, and the scriptures contained this. This was given to us. And the Bible said, if anyone come to you speaking any other thing than what I have taught you, though he be an angel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. That's all right, folks. You can go right on, but it's the truth anyway. I said, let me tell you something. I said, God's word is truth, and if you get in a double marriage, if you don't straighten your life out, you're going to die and go to hell, and God isn't going to change it for Brother Branham or nobody else. Not nobody. And the ones that's going around teaching that has made such a mess of things until it's in a terrible conglomeration of a mess today. In the first place, if they had understood the tape of William Branham, they would have known that the man wasn't condoning the filth that they said. And in the next place, if he had been, God would have rejected it and not received it. Let me tell you something, folks, of Charlotte, you listen to me. It doesn't matter whether people say they're Brother Branham followers or PTO followers or Oral Roberts followers or George Pike's followers. They are not of God if they are not in the Word of God. You can say you're my followers if you want to, but if you don't tell the people the Word, you are a liar. You can say that you're William Branham followers, but if you don't tell the people the Word, you are a liar. You can say you're 700 followers or PTL followers, or you can say Old Roberts followers. It doesn't matter what you say. If you don't teach the people the Word, you are a liar. The Bible said, let every man be a liar and the Word of God be true. Some of these people running around talking about being Brother Branham's followers. They holler, I'm a Brother Branham follower. And they've got things messed up and crossed up in such a conglomeration of mess. If Brother Branham was here, he'd face them to their face and tell them what a mess they've made out of things concerning his ministry. Like I said here last night, and I wouldn't enlarge upon this, but since some of them wanted to jump up and run out, I might as well enlarge on it. Said last night that was talking about the vindication of Brother Branham. I said, some of you ain't never even seen the man. You never even met the man. You never even knew the man. You never was even in his meeting. And you talk about vindication. Somebody would say, well, I was in his meeting and I saw it and I know such and such. You must have been blind as a bat. If you was in his meeting and you saw the vindication and heard the things, if you're teaching some of the things that I know that some of you are teaching, you're in worse shape than the ones that wasn't in it. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There were some people that was in it that believed in it. There were some people that was in it that saw it. There were some people that was in it that understood it. And I was one of those people. But there's one thing for sure. Though the anointing spoke of me twice in the man's life, and though he prayed that my ministry would be one of the greatest in the world, it still doesn't change my feelings. I preached like this when Brother Branham was alive. I still preach like this. It's either holiness or it's hell. It's either the Word of God or be a reprobate. It's either teach God's Word or get off on some tangent of some wild thing and call yourself something that you're not and accredit to yourself something that you don't have. I say in your presence, I say in the presence of everybody everywhere I've ever been, it doesn't matter who it is. If they don't go with God's Word, they are of the devil and they'll die and go to hell. They can quote William Branham's quotes all the way from the beginning to the end. That don't prove nothing. If they understood Revelation, and I say this with all reverence and respect, if they knew the revelation of Jesus Christ, the first thing they would know that the followers that followed Brother Branham in this move that just come during the time that he's been dead up till now, they would automatically know that they followed the pattern of the law and that those was the ones that was rejected, and that the move of God concerning William Branham's life was with the second woman, that the first woman had to do with the bonds child and Billy Paul had to do with the bonds child, and all of them that come under the law and the quotes had to do with the bonds child. And the very move of God was with Joseph, and it's just now setting in where God said, Joseph, my son, thou art a prophet. He didn't say, Billy Paul, my son, thou art a prophet. It had a significance. It was the Pentecostal woman. in the last move that has to do with the church age is coming right now. Them boys that's been running around with them quotes, that's not God's children. God's children are just now coming into this thing. To understand it, like Brother Andrew said, he was just now coming into it. Said them boys don't understand what they're teaching. Said I preach for them, I've been around with them, they don't understand what they're preaching. He said, and he didn't either, said I'm just coming to the light of it. You know why they talk about Brother Pike? You know why they chop Brother Pike up? You know why they come against Brother Pike? Because I stand for the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. Marriage and divorce tapes or no marriage and divorce tapes, whether Brother Pike preaches it or Brother Branham, if you marry, the Bible said, if you put your wife away for any other reason, saving for the cause of fornication, and you marry another, you've committed adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. Somebody said, well, what are you going to do with this generation that we're in, Brother Pike? There's so many people in that kind of condition. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with them. The same thing that Jesus done with them. He said they'll be a sinful and an adulterous generation. They'll marry and marry and keep on marrying until I rain fire and brimstone down on their head. He told them in the Old Testament, they said, we're already married. We've already got children. Nehemiah said, I don't care. Put them wives away and put the children away. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. Folks, sin is sin. And it depends on the case. It depends on your condition. If you commit adultery, you are going to die and go to hell. It doesn't matter whether it's my tapes or Brother Branham's tapes or whatever. You remember what I'm telling you. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what about Moses when he gave him a writing of divorcement? That was something, wasn't it? But what about Jesus when Jesus come along and said it wasn't so from the beginning? You say, well, it sounds to me like Moses and Jesus was divided. No, Brother Branham knew what he was talking about, and I know what I'm talking about. It's the in-betweens. That's where all the problem is, the middle wall of petition. Moses said, you can have your writing of divorcement. Then Jesus come along. They said, what about it? He said it wasn't so from the beginning. In the beginning, he made them male and female. They had one wife. Go back and check Moses, he said, in essence. Moses didn't have but one wife. What are you doing with a half a dozen of them if you're his followers? You don't find where William Branham ever got mixed up in a double marriage. Go back and check it out. Now, you know what it is? It's a sinful, adulterous generation. They dress in tight clothing. They dress in shorts. They lust after one another in their minds. They look and lust after one another. It's an adulterous generation. Live like pigs and dogs. Don't even get married anymore so they can get welfare support. And the government's blind enough to support them and encourage the thing. And I am going to close. Just hold on for a minute. Appreciate your wonderful, kind attention. You say, well, what about Brother Branham's tape then on marriage and divorce? I say it wasn't so from the beginning. They misunderstood Moses. It wasn't so from the beginning. Jesus said, Moses said it ain't got nothing to do with it. It don't change the Word of God. And said, there's no man in all the land like my man Moses. Folks, let me tell you something. It don't matter who said it. It isn't going to change it. Some of these brethren would love to take my head off. They stoned Stephen to death. But glory to God, it would do me good if they stoned me to death. That's all right. I sure ain't happy over the situation of the dying. And I ain't happy over the situation of the stoning. But it's one thing about it, I got enough sense not to talk like this if I want not to talk like this. But I'm glad I talk like this and I thank God for it and I don't mean to take none of it back. And they can stomp and snort and do what they want to. They've chopped me to pieces anyway. A bunch of hypocrites. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't so from the beginning. God is the great one, and God is the right one, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God, the same to every generation, and He's never changed, and He isn't going to change for Brother Pike, He isn't going to change for the people of California, He isn't going to change for the people of Charlotte, He isn't going to change for the PTL Club, He isn't going to change for Oral Roberts, and I'll tell you what, He isn't going to change for Brother Branham following, or He isn't going to change for anybody else. God said, George Pike, you preach the Word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. God's word said, if you put away your wife for any other reason, saving for the cause of fornication, and you marry another, you've committed adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. And the Bible said the adulterers and the liars and the whoremongers shall have their part in the lake of fire. I'll tell you what, if William Branham was alive today, he'd say, amen. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you know what? That just brings something to my mind. I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and J.T. Parnell, the man that I said had been under his ministry so long, that had the personal fellowship with him so much, he said, you know what? After you preached, I went and had a vision. He said, and in this vision said, I saw balls of fire coming from this direction and balls of fire from that direction. And he said, and I heard a voice in behind me. Said, I spoke up. J.T. Parnell said, I spoke up myself, Brother Pike. And I said, my, this is what Brother Pike was talking about. Said, and I heard a voice in back of me. Said, amen. And said, it was the voice of William Branham. Brother, let me tell you, if you're born of God, you can't say nothing but amen. There ain't nothing else you can say. You say, who do you think you are, Brother Pike? I'm a son of God. Who are you? Who are you? I'm a son of God. I've sent here to witness for my Father. I want you to stand with me. I was planning to pray for the sick tonight. I said I was going to pray for them, and I'm not going to change my mind in the sense that I said I would. I don't want to hold you, so getting a little late. But it stirs up my indignation a little bit when I see people flop out from under this tent and take off and run out because they don't like what you're saying. You know, it'd be something if some of them would come to me like a brother and talk to me like a brother and sat down and say, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you in error. But it'd jump up and run out. And act up and go off and talk about me and say all kind of things to me. Then when we come face to face, they don't stand up for nothing. You know, I don't believe in confusion. And it's for sure you can't stand up in a service and cause trouble and put you in the federal penitentiary for interrupting services. But there's one thing about it. I don't believe in causing trouble and especially confusion. Confusion's of the devil. All the paths of God are peace. But I remember on one occasion when I was in New York, the man from the pulpit got so degraded in the things that he was saying. He made some smart remarks. Those remarks was filthy. I mean filthy. It was filthy for the lady folks. It was filthy for the children. And in all love and respect, I walked right up to his face in that meeting among those hundreds of people. And I said, mister, I said, God didn't tell you to say that, and that's not the anointing of God, and that thing is not of God. I said, it's not of God. I said, it's not of God. And I said, the things you're saying here is so degraded, I said, it is not fit for the people to hear. And he had a bad reputation. He was out of Missouri. That's what they call the show me state. And he was a big fellow. About 6 foot two or three. Was known to bop people around. Some of them he'd work with, he'd bopped them. He said, you don't tell me nothing. I said, yes, I'm telling you. I said, it's not of God. I said, you need to be born again. You need to get your life straight. You know what? It wasn't long after that, though he had been a great man across the world, in the different parts of the nation, and had taken in many, many, multiplied thousands of dollars, had a great operation. But it wasn't long after that until God took him, slapped down, took everything that he had away from him. He wound up in adultery, and everybody saw his evil, adulterous ways. And today, they know him as an adulterer and a fornicator, as he was when he had it hid. And you know what? The last words I heard concerning him was from somebody a few days ago. He said, I wonder how Brother Pike would receive me if I went to talk with him. A lot of difference in the man. You know, God has a way of bringing folks down. And some of these brethren that have went around and chopped us up and said things about us, and I tried to treat them nice. One of them went down into Mexico and wound up in prison. Some of you folks know him. Another when death struck the family in such a way. I'm talking about men that you know that you call the brotherhood. One right after another, God wrapped them up, knocked them down, and things happened to them. Folks, let me tell you something. When a man stands for this right here, You better be careful what you do. You better be careful what you say, and you better be careful how you hear what he has to say. For he has the power to bless you, and he has the power to curse you. Everybody running around calling himself a preacher don't have that power. But you beware, just in the event that he really is a man of God, and there is a few of them around. I'm one of the least. But just in the event that he is, you better watch what you do. I was talking to a man a few days ago. He told me how somebody had mistreated him, and I know for a fact they mistreated him. When they mistreated him, I said, God will get them people for that as sure as they live in this world. And God burned their fields. He burned their fields. He thoroughly burned their fields. He'll burn your barley fields, as Brother Jack Coe used to say. If I touch you, he'll burn my fields. If you touch me, he'll burn your fields. If you touch a brother, a sister, or a minister, he'll burn your fields. You be careful what you do. Careful what you say. I'm preaching against sin, whether it's on PTL or 700 or Oral Roberts or George Pike or Billy Graham or William Branham or whatever. I'm preaching against sin. And if they got any God in them, they'll do the same thing. And I'll tell you something else. If they got any God in them, when they stand up on the TVs and they stand up behind the sacred desk, they won't be afraid to say George Pike is of the devil and George Pike is doing wrong if they got any God in them, if God's revealed it to them. That I'm of the devil, if I should be in that kind of condition. They'll have enough boldness to stand up and tell the world. And if they haven't, they're a hypocrite. Because I'll be honest with you, I'll tell them they're of the devil. And I'll tell you, you're of the devil. You might take my head off, but the last words you'll get to hear, I'll say, you hypocrite, you're of the devil. God is love, but he said, I'll save Zion by judgment. He doesn't save you except by judgment. You're saved by judgment. Let's sing a little chorus together as we come to the close of the service tonight. I knew there's going to be war up here. I said, brethren, when I set this tent in Charlotte, there's going to be war in heaven. You know, we are they that dwell in heaven. I said, there's going to be war in heaven because a bunch of hypocrites is going to have to face the issue. I said, they've been tromping around and saying things and God's been leaving it alone. But I said, they're going to have to face the issue when I get up there. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, bless God, I got the audacity to come and tell you. Come right on. I'll talk to you like a brother and treat you as just sweet as honey. If you show me you're a hypocrite and get out of line, I'll tell you to your face you're a hypocrite before you leave. If you don't think I'll do it, all you got to do is come around. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I love you, children of God. And I want to be tender and kind to a sinner because they need compassion and they need love and they need understanding. And you children of God, I wouldn't touch you for 10 million worlds. But you hypocrite, I'll face you and stand right toe-to-toe to you anytime you want to come over. I don't have no time for you. I feel by you just like Jesus did. You're full of the devil. Like Paul said to a man one time, he said, you're a child of the devil, perverted, subverted in all of your ways. Just can't cease from perverting the things of God and trying to cause problems. And God brought the judgment upon him. You know what it is? It's time to cast the devil out. It's time to get the accusers of the brethren out. It's time to throw them out. And then has come peace, and then has come strength, and then has come the glory of God, then has come unity. When you get the middle wall of partition out, the man child caught up to the throne to rule with a rod of iron. These people that's coming forth in this ministry and in this message, in this last hour, they're not going to be a bunch of wishy-washy charismatics, half-hearted, do any old way. They're going to be children of God, and they're going to be filled with the strength of God and the things of God. And they're going to be willing to give their life for this if that's what it takes. They're going to be like the early church, and they're going to tell it like it is. And they're not going to cut any corners for anybody. Okay, let's sing this little chorus into my heart. Can we sing it? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come in. into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it one more time, can you? Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. You know, I was down in Florida, down in Orlando, and I was preaching out of the tent. And I said, there's somebody here, such and such and such, in a degraded way. I picked it up. You know, people are bad about running off with women, different things when they're married. Boy, somebody shot out from under the tent. It looked real bad, you know. Out from under the tent they went. After service, they hemmed me up and they caught me. They wanted to know why I said what I said, that offended them. When I got through telling them why it offended them, then they broke down and made the confession that they were sitting there with another woman that night, had left their wife at home and said, I was just trying to help her. And they went down with some degraded things that I wouldn't want to bring to your mind in the way they was trying to help them. That's why they run out. That's why they act up. Sometimes there's a few that go out because they don't understand. Sometimes there are those that really don't understand. Occasionally you find people like that. But in most cases, it's because the devil's got a hold of them and they can't sit in the congregation of the righteous and they have to get out. In Jesus' ministry, when he was preaching, they'd stand up in the services and they'd scream out at him. You'd say, well, they wouldn't do that today. I've had them to do it more than one time. I've been preaching the gospel. They didn't pounce on me like they did Stephen's when he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always err, even as your fathers do, by resisting the Holy Ghost. They didn't stone me like they did him and like they did Paul. But I've had them numbers of times to jump up in my service. And did you know what? When they got the devil cast out of them, I've had the same ones to invite me home for lunch. You love the Lord? I've had them to jump up ready to fight me because I preached the Word of God and told them that they had to get baptized in Jesus' name. And did you know what? I've told them, I said, well, you can stomp and snort and do what you want to, but it's thus saith the Lord. And do you know what? After the devil was cast out of them, they say, take me down to the creek and baptize me, Brother Pike. You know, people are wonderful. Did you know that? They're sweet and loving. But the devil, he's terrible. Did you know you can take a great big old elephant, a great big old elephant, big fellow that could just take one little sweep of that trunk and knock my head off. But did you know, if he doesn't have the devil in him, he'll be just as sweet. And you can just love him and he'll love you. And you won't be a bit afraid of him. You won't have any fear. But you can take a little old bobcat, and he ain't big enough to do hardly anything to you and me. But you let him have the devil in him and let him snarl and growl and rage, and you'll get so afraid you won't know which way to go. Did you know that? Take a little old bumblebee and let him bumble around, you know, and buzz around. He don't bother nobody. But you get him upset and let the devil get a hold of him. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you don't believe the devil gets in animals. The Bible said when Jesus cast them out of legions, they said, let us go into the pigs. That's where they're at today, in the pigs. The pigs go back to their wallowing in the mire, and the dogs to their vomit. They're in the beast. You love the Lord? Sometimes they'll jump on a child of God. Tonight, if you've not made peace with God, if you've not found your way with the Lord, now's a good time, folks, to come. Tonight, I tell you in the name of the Lord, Brother Branham made mistakes. I can show them to you. I know these people that jumped up and went out, and other brethren say, no, he didn't make no mistakes. I can show you where he made mistakes. I know that he did. I can prove it to you by the Bible. Oral Roberts made mistakes. Brother Pike has made mistakes. You've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. But Jesus never made any mistakes. If you're going to pattern your life after somebody, pattern it after Jesus. David made mistakes, though he was a man after God's own heart. Oral, Brother Branham, Billy Graham, and all the rest of them. But Jesus Christ is your guideline tonight. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He never made any mistakes. Follow the Word of God and you'll never go wrong. Take the Word of God. The Bible said, and in that day, He alone shall be exalted. He alone shall have the preeminence. And all the rest of them will have to stand there and say, did you make a mistake, Brother Pike? I'll say, Lord, I'm afraid I did. William Branham, did you make a mistake? Lord, I'm afraid I did. Did you, Oral Roberts? I'm afraid I did. Billy Graham, did you? I'm afraid I did. They'll say, I find no fault in this just man. I find no fault in this just man. There's no fault with Jesus. He's your pattern. He's your example. The Bible said, follow in his steps. All right, one more time. If you'll stand with me, I'll let you go. We're going to be praying for the sick. There'll be people that want to be prayed for. Messages like tonight, things like this, they kind of lose their interest. The fear of God comes, resentment comes, war in heaven. The Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. The church needs some chastisement. Paul said, shall I come unto you in the spirit of meekness or with a rod? Leave a child to himself, he'll bring you shame. But the Bible said you chasten him. If you love him, you'll do it often. Not to hurt him or to kill him, but everyone that cometh to God, he scourgeth him first. Let's just bow our heads together now. We're going to dismiss you. We're looking for you to come back tomorrow night. Say, oh, Brother Pike, nobody won't come preaching like that. I love you, but you come too late to tell me. They'll be here. They always come. They've always come. They always will come. God's got people that love the gospel of Christ. They'll be here. For every seat you leave empty, there'll be somebody to fill it up. Sometimes you have a turnover. Some people come maybe on Monday night. It's a little bit strong and they can't shake it off until Friday night. But they love the Lord. They'll be all right. If you love Jesus, it hasn't hurt you anyway. It's just made you grow. Because you're 100% for it. And if you're in hypocrisy, you're going to be in trouble anyway. While you've got your heads bowed, I want to pray for you. And I want to ask God to help you tonight. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, I ask you to reach out over the congregation. And I ask you to bless and forgive tonight. And I ask you to touch the lives of these people. To look down. As I feel your anointing tonight. As I feel the great, mighty Holy Ghost tonight. Witnessing from heaven that we're speaking the truth of your word. Glorious Father, I ask you to heal these people's body. Forgive these people. Move the evil and hypocrisy out of their lives. Let them be genuine children of God, that they may be delivered from death beds and that they may have eternal life, and that your great spirit might be with them. Hear from heaven and heal their lands and rebuke the devourer for their sake. O great and mighty God of heaven, deliver tonight, heal tonight, save tonight. Keep them tender and sweet and loving in your kindness. Make them as bold as a lion, as harmless as a dove, as wise as a serpent. Grant it, O God, in the name of Jesus tonight. Give them that gentle nature like a lamb. Grant it tonight, Father. Lord, as we sing this last little course together tonight, before departing from your house, I ask you to enlarge their hearts tonight. Let them prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Bring forth that great bride, O Lord, that you spoke about. In Jesus' loving name, I ask it. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing one chorus and let you go. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Can you sing it with me now? Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.